The Book Nook on WYSO is presented by the Greene County Public Library with additional support from Clark County Public Library, Dayton Metro Library, Washington Centerville Public Library, and Wright Memorial Public Library.
Hello, welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis, and it's my pleasure to welcome back to the program today Astrea Taylor. She joins us on the telephone in the Dayton region, and she has a new book out. It's called How to Use Intuition to Elevate Your Craft, Intuitive Witchcraft. Or maybe I should reverse that. Maybe it's called Intuitive Witchcraft, How to Use Intuition to Elevate Your Craft. Do you have a preference?
Oh, the second one.
Okay. So, wow, what a book. What led you to write this?
Well, really, it's kind of a lifelong journey in this direction of all the energy work that I've done and experiences that I've had. And it's really about being an eclectic energy worker and doing whatever feels right according to your intuition.
And how did this happen?
Well, I had a pretty magical childhood. I had these prophetic dreams that came true, and I had psychic experiences, like knowing things that no one told me. And I went to this New Age church, so I knew about the power of the spoken word and about how your thoughts can cause some things to manifest if it's in alignment with what's the highest good. And I also had some astral projection experiences as a young child that really changed my world, and they showed me that there's this whole other world out there of energy and that spirits are real. And so I kind of started on this path, not really doing things on purpose. They just kind of happened to me. And I think a lot of kids have experiences like this, like something magical happened and they can't explain it. But I kind of delved deeper. I leaned into it, and I'm still leaning in. I'm still learning about things and still researching. It's wonderful. Like, it's a rabbit hole. It goes very deep.
My guest is Astrea Taylor. Her book is Intuitive Witchcraft, How to Use Intuition to Elevate Your Craft. What made you decide to come out of the broom closet?
That's a great question. I was in the broom closet because I was not really certain about reception. But, lately there's been a more positive outpouring of support for the witchcraft movement and whatnot. And, anyone who identifies as something similar to that. And I think people are just realizing it's not a scary thing. Like, what I do mostly is just energy work. It's like turning energies around me and within me into working with all of those energies to produce this desired outcome. And that's not a scary thing. Like, people, they want to elevate it up to like 1,000, and they're thinking, there's some kind of devil involved, and it's not the case. So really, I didn't want to be afraid to face people, and I wanted to be a more positive role model in the community as well, to show people that, this is okay.
You open the book by giving us the basics, and then as we progress into it, you get more in depth. Can you give us the basics? Give our listeners some sense of what it is that you're talking about. What is intuitive witchcraft?
Okay, well, it's basically using your intuition at every stage of energy work or witchcraft. So we use witchcraft because there's this whole studied lineage of working with these subtle energies. So you can use your intuition to tune into what you're feeling right now and then kind of assess where you want to be. And by tuning into where you are right now, it's not like spiritually bypassing, like, I don't want to feel uncomfortable. It's like, okay, let's evaluate what this uncomfortable feeling is and what I really would like to have happen. So you can use your intuition to make a statement like that, to assess the situation, and then use other correspondences such as essential oils or herbs, candles, divination tools, or meditation, any number of things that are available that could change that energy within you. And adding an intention that, let's say, peppermint tea would help you from feeling uneasy to feeling a little bit more confident and more secure and aware. Then you add an intention, some words to that. Basically, this tea helps me, focus on what I want to do and what I need to accomplish. So it's really as simple as that. And that's what some people would call a spell. But, you know, that's obviously not scary at all. So I hope you can see how it's not like an evil thing. It's really about intention and the energies around you.
I know here in Yellow Springs that we have people who describe themselves as energy workers. Now, what exactly does an energy worker do? You've alluded to some of that just now. What do you mean specifically by energy work?
Well, I can speak to how I define it. I think everyone's a little different. And I feel like, you know, that's something that I want to have more respect for. Like there's no one right way to do things. And so people have different gifts and backgrounds and whatnot. So for me, it's basically changing the energies that are around me into what I prefer, my desired outcome. So, I might feel it's basically doing a magical action, which, you know, is a mundane action. But if you do it at a higher level of intention and awareness and with a purpose in mind, you can really make that a higher frequency of energy and really change the energy and the energetic feeling of the outcome as well. And that's what you want. So, you know, you might feel like dancing is a great way to raise energy, and it's a magical action. And you can really feel a lot of movement of energy when you do that. So that would be a great way to explain how somebody might go about some energy work.
My guest is Astrea Taylor. We're talking about her book, Intuitive Witchcraft, How to Use Intuition to Elevate Your Craft. And I know some of our listeners have probably seen you, but they don't maybe realize it. You are a fire dancer. I've seen you fire dance a number of times. You've fire danced all over the place. I'm sure some of them have probably seen you do fire dancing.
Yeah, fire dancing is so wonderful. It's such an ecstatic experience. And, you know, it's this feeling of like kind of being outside the body, because the fire is really alarming. You know, like it's so close and it's so vibrant, and the danger is very real. We take all these precautions. We're very safe, and we've never had any big major accidents or anything like that. So, but you know, we play with this, the energy of fire, and it's really fun. You know, we have all those costumes that we make as well. We have the fire crowns, we have fire skirts, and the typical fire dancing toys as well, like fire hoops and poi and staff and a fire umbrella. It's really fun.
It's fun to watch. Astrea.
Thank you.
Yeah, in the book, you talk about an experience that you had where you were going to walk on burning coals, and how you did it a couple times, and they were very different experiences because of how you felt. Do you want to talk about that at all?
Yeah, I would love to. This is a great story. The first time I was going to walk on hot coals, it was this time where I was feeling really sad. I was feeling kind of rejected, and a friend had just snubbed me kind of accidentally. But I took it personally, and, you know, it was a combination of insomnia and, probably poor food choices and whatnot. It was the end of the festival. It was the end of the fire dancing festival. And I wanted to do it just to prove something to myself. And when I walked over the hot coals, it was really hot. Like, I felt the burning sensation, and I just ran across them, unlike everyone else who was just walking across them. And I got burns on my feet. And I was like, well, that's terrible. But when this happened, when the fire dancing festival came around next year, I said that I wanted to do it again, but I made sure that my energy raising that we did, that we all did, you know, together, dancing and singing and talking about our dreams. Like, I made sure that I got in with that. And so I was so much happier. I was like on cloud nine. And when I walked across the coals, I stood there for a second when I first went onto them, and they were like, you have to keep coming, because I couldn't feel them at all. And so I walked across them seven times that time. And it was insane because it was the exact same conditions, except for I was different. It was the same people putting on the same coal walking experience. And, you know, the last time I was alone in that experience because everyone else was walking over the coals like seven, nine times or whatever. But that really showed me that when you experience things at a different inner energetic level, you have different experiences with the world. Mm-hmm. And what I take away from this is that when you're at a higher energy, you don't burn as much, okay, literally in that story, but you also just don't feel the pain of the world as much. You can kind of like connect to this higher energy and not be in a bad state. I don't know if I'm saying that well enough.
Makes sense to me. Of course, I read the book, so I have an advantage. I know exactly what you're talking about. In the book, yeah. you talk about times of the year that are significant, and right now we are at the time when it's winter cross quarter day, aren't we? In bulk, is that what you call it? Are you doing something special for the Celtic goddess Brigid today?
I'm not, but I'm going to light some candles today and ask for a blessing on my home. I do a very simple kind of thing for the holidays, the earth holidays, like the solstices and equinoxes. My practice is more like what I need in the real time, in the moment. And I think those seasonal markers are great for commemorating times and for being aware of the natural world and that's all around us, and, you know, the agricultural ways of living and whatnot. But I'm more connected with my body and in my doing what feels right for me in the moment.
Uh-huh. My guest is Astrea Taylor. We're talking about her book, Intuitive Witchcraft, How to Use Intuition to Elevate Your Craft. Did you do anything special to prepare for this interview? Anything that you don't normally do?
I did put some lavender oil on. It's funny you asked that because I was looking over some of my older written interviews to prepare for this. And I was thinking like, oh, I should get some lavender oil. And I was like, no, there's only a couple of minutes. And then I literally read in this written interview I did with Llewellyn, my publisher. It said, if you feel lavender oil will help you, go and get it. I said, okay. This is a sign.
Now, is that to calm you a little bit, or?
Yeah, it helps me with self-expression. It's just, mm-hmm. I really feel like it resonates like at a higher frequency. It just, it's so calming and spiritually connecting as well.
Mm. And what's your typical day like? What kind of things would you do that maybe your neighbor isn't ever going to do? What kind of stuff do you do living this kind of lifestyle?
Well, I have a magical morning practice that I don't skip if I can help it. And basically, I wake up with some coffee, and I either journal about my dreams. I might pick a tarot card or a few more. I might pick a few tarot cards. Basically, I sit with the energy that I have in the moment and just feel the energy of the day. It's kind of my wake up. I get to experience the liminality between sleep and, you know, the busy day that I usually have.
Mm.
I also try to read every night about different things. I read all kinds of books, and I think it's all connected because, you know, everything in the whole universe is energy. And, you know, learning more about even things like psychology and ancient pagan religions and worships and, you know, things that they did. It's really inspiring to me. It's such a great way to, like, kind of relax into the night and prepare for sleep.
Do you read fiction?
Oh, yes. I read a lot of fiction, too.
Okay. So what were you reading last night?
Last night was an exception, actually. it was a late night. It was Scarlett's birthday.
It's the Book Nook. You're listening to 91.3 WYSO, amplifying voices from every corner of our community. And our voice today is that of Astrea Taylor. We're talking about her book, Intuitive Witchcraft, How to Use Intuition to Elevate Your Craft. I learned a lot from your book. And one thing that I found particularly fascinating was your account about these portals and how they can open up and how you have to close them. I had no clue about this. It's amazing. Tell us about that.
There are good portals and bad portals. I'll just say that.
Okay.
And basically they kind of accumulate. When a certain level of energy accumulates, you can kind of have it linger in a place and it can, stick around, and there can be this portal, this energy gateway for spirits to enter a place. And I'm pretty aware of spirits, and I've seen them and I've heard them, and I have some really great ghost stories about them and stuff. But it's something that you don't really want a negative energy portal in your house. And unfortunately, that happened to me when a friend of mine was spiraling downward into depression and this drug-induced hysteria. And she was just really in a bad place, and nobody could reach her. And eventually she did get the help that she needed. But it's a really sad thing that, that has to happen, that that could happen. And, fortunately, it's something that I was aware of and I knew how to deal with.
Uh-huh. So we have to read the book to find out how to close one of these portals.
I think first just don't open them.
Okay. All right. Well, I think I've been around some of those, but I don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just, there's a negative vortex of energy, and you're just like, oh, why do I feel like terrible all of a sudden? I feel like they happen in, a lot of offices as well.
I was amused when I got to the part. There's humor in this book, and I think my favorite part as far as getting a chuckle was when you said that you modeled your ideal romantic behavior on Gomez and Morticia Adams. I really laughed. You're talking about the TV version of them?
Yeah. I used to watch it when I was a kid, and I was like, wow, they really love each other.
Uh-huh. Well, I had John Astin do an interview one time years ago, and what a guy. He played Gomez, of course.
Oh, wonderful.
I thought that was so cute when you said that they were your ideal.
Yeah, and what's funny is that when I did that, as I share in the book, I didn't expect that I would be more of the Gomez person and my husband would be more of the Morticia. But you know what? It works. It's great. We, Gomez and Morticia, we really love each other.
In the book, as we get further into it, you talk about what you call the flow state. What is it?
Well, that's a higher level of energy. When I was walking across the coals and the second time, I was in this ecstatic state of mind. And so really, it's also called the flow state. And it's kind of like this higher level of trance and awareness at the same time. And this is what a lot of musicians have when they are in the zone.
Mm.
It's what writers have when they're in the zone. And as a fire dancer, we get in that flow state as well. And it feels amazing because you're taking part in this creation of something, and you're either creating it for someone to experience later, or you're creating it for someone to experience in the present moment. And so you're connected to this flow of energy, and it just feels so amazing. And, you're part of the creation of the universe. The whole universe is about creation, and continuing this stuff. So I really love it, and it's something that I've experienced a lot. So I encourage people to go into that whenever they can and to be aware of it as well.
I get the sense reading your book that you incorporate a lot of ideas and a lot of beliefs and feelings from all over into what you've put together here. Is that accurate?
Yes, I've studied so much. When I was first trying to figure out what I was going to do as a teenager spiritually, because I had all these feelings and experiences. I studied the world's religions, every single one of them that I could, you know, not the completely obscure ones, but and I really gained so much from learning about all of them. And then I started studying psychology, and that is a deep well as well. Mm-hmm. I started, you know, reading higher level books about philosophy. And I just kept going. I've studied so much, and I do draw on a lot of different things. And I do think it's all intertwined. You know, the ancient Greeks believed that that was all one thing. They didn't have separate words for these separate studies. Like, they thought they were all intertwined.
When you're out in public, do you see auras around people?
Sometimes if it's very vibrant, a very energetic person, like if it's a public speaker, usually it's really easy to see that around somebody because they are projecting that out there. But usually I would have to try to turn that on within myself and be conscious of that. And that's good boundaries too. You don't want to go out into the world and react to every single sensation that there is. But yeah, I see spirits in the world. I see auras, and I see like nature spirits a lot as well. It's really magical. The world's a magical place. And I think that there's been a lot of people who try to shut that down, and they say it's not real because we can't quantitate it. But, you know, if it's real to the person who is experiencing it, that's where, you know, you have to extend some belief. You know, you have to believe that this person believes that it's real at the very least. And so, I mean, it's possible that we could quantitate some of this stuff in the future, but some of it is just, it might be locked away. Like, you know, the regulations of the world, like, I don't know how the spirit world is set up, if there are rules against that ever being verified, or what would happen with that. But it's really an interesting world out there, and I encourage people to experience it. And if there's not a lot of negative stuff, like, there's some basic protective measures that I think everyone should have, and everyone is pretty much aware of it. It's kind of like, you know, be aware of strangers, strange spirits, and don't just invite everybody into your house necessarily. Uh-huh. But yeah, so I'm all about like exploring these worlds, and as long as there's not a lot of negativity being expressed or attracted, then I think it's pretty good. It's a pretty great thing.
My guest is Estrella Taylor. Do you get the sense that we've been here before and that we're going to be here again?
I have had past life dreams and some memories and experiences that I can't explain, and I still can't explain it. I've looked it up in history, and there are parts, there are things. It's really weird to have a dream when you're in somebody else's body and you're doing something and you have like this mission to do something. And I think that's why sometimes when we meet people, they feel really familiar to us. And, you know, you kind of can see beyond the physical form. You can see like deep in their eyes that there's something there that you recognize.
Well, I'm sure many of us have experienced a lot of the things that you describe in the book, and like deja vu. I mean, we've all had that. We may not think we did, but you get this funny feeling. You're like, oh, wait a minute. I know. I've been here before.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, that's a sign that, you know, things are turning on in your brain, and maybe time isn't as linear as we really perceive it to be. Maybe it is for our bodies and our three-dimensional aspects of ourselves, but maybe not for our spirit. Maybe our spirit is more of a fourth dimensional kind of entity. It's hard to say. Like, I don't want to philosophize too much about it because I don't really know. But yeah, these things happen, and I think they're really cool, and we can lean into them and really squeeze out more energy and kind of find more about that and, you know, who we really are.
Mm-hmm. Well, the book's been out for a little while. Who are your readers? Who have you discovered as a readership?
Well, I have a bunch of wonderful readers, and it's so amazing because a lot of people are at this intersection where they feel spiritual, but they're not really attracted to the traditional religions of witchcraft, like traditional witchcraft or Wicca or some of the other older things like the Golden Dawn or whatnot. But they want some kind of a system. They want to know things. They want to be able to work with things. But that's mostly my people. It's kind of like all of the outsiders and mm-hmm. people who are sensitive as well. And they want something that matches them. They don't just want to follow somebody else's religion or experiences.
Uh-huh. Astrea, is there another book in this vein coming out? You have something you're working on?
Yes, I'm working on a book called Air Magic. It's with the same publisher, Llewellyn, and it's all about the world of air and the spirits that are all around us. And it has chapters of the correspondences of air, which are like the minerals and rocks and crystals, the colors, the axiom of air is to know. So air is all about communication and change, travel, the mind and the breath. And so much more. Like, there's so much to talk about this magical element of air. And when we have a thought, that's where, you know, those thoughts travel through the magical realm of air. And there's connections everywhere. It's kind of like Wi-Fi. You know, when we have thoughts, we're releasing this energy. And, you know, we can attract certain things through this or, you know, repel them as well. So there's a lot of magical techniques and tips and tricks that I have, as well as some rituals and spells and some deities as well in that book.
That sounds like something I'm going to need to study, because I need to have some kind of extra thing that's going to help me book interesting guests on the program. I need to be able to send that vibe out there and say, okay, look, you're out there. I know you feel me thinking about you. You need to be my guest on this program, like Astrea was.
Yeah, how do you think I got this interview?
You think so?
I just put it out there. I was like, I'm open to doing interviews now, and you contacted me, and I was like, this is great.
Jan, I don't even remember.
I'll make sure you get a copy.
Excuse me?
I'll make sure you get a copy of that book.
Oh, okay. Well, it's always a pleasure talking to you about your work. The last time we had you on was for fiction, so it's nice to talk to you about something totally different.
Yeah, well, you know, I love creative works, and, you know, I the other time that I was on was so much fun as well. But yeah, intuitive witchcraft is a real labor of love, and it's really revealing so much about who I am, and it's helping people in the community too. Like, they're really coming to terms with, like, how they can be more inspired and live this more spiritual life that they're seeking. So it's so great. And thank you so much for having me on, too.
Well, thanks for being my guest, Astrea. It's always a pleasure. Intuitive Witchcraft is the book, How to Use Intuition to Elevate Your Craft. My guest has been Astrea Taylor for The Book Nook. I'm Vic McCunis. Thanks, as always, for listening.